Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 4:51 p.m. and that is Eastern Summer Time. And today is November 3rd. Well, we had a pop on the upside for Treasury yields today, and not least because the Fed announced that they're going to begin tapering, and they expect to take $15 billion off their purchase list every month for the next 8 months, so that by the June meeting they'll probably be down to zero. They've also said that they're not in any hurry to raise rates. So with inflationary pressures still very much to the fore, then the market is beginning to price in those interest rate hikes somewhere down the line. But of course, the fact that the Federal Reserve is more than willing to be behind the curve here is helping to support asset prices. So it's helping to support property prices, it's helping to support the stock market as well. And then it's also helping to fuel speculation because there's still plenty of liquidity sloshing around. It's simply that the sheer quantity of money being sprayed into the economy is going to moderate from this month. And that should start to put downward pressure on bond prices and obviously upward pressure on yields. This has been a very orderly little consolidation, and it suggests that there is plenty of scope for additional upside on the 10-year. When we then think about the 2-year, well, we've definitely had a tightening yield curve, and the 2-year did not hold all of the move, so there was some dip buying going on in the 2-year as we approached the close in here today. So we had the yield curve spread beginning to rise again, and I think this is not nearly large enough of a move to suggest that this is anything other than some pause around these levels. I think it's much more likely that this peak is the peak for the cycle, and it would be unlikely for the yield curve spread to rise more above that 150 basis point level during this cycle. Of course, we'll have to see how it all plays out, but it does look like the long end of the curve is going to start pricing in higher interest rates, and that it will drag the short end of the curve up with it in due course. Then, of course, we had the ECB also being quite clear in here today that they haven't a notion of raising interest rates, and that they don't plan on doing it at all in 2022. And that they anticipate that they're going to be providing assistance to the European economy for the lengthy medium term. So, against that background, the euro was firmer because it's not new news. And everyone was expecting the announcement from the ECB, whereas there was still some uncertainty about exactly what it was that the Federal Reserve were going to say. So the euro has been a tad stronger, but it's a clear downtrend since January of this year. There is still the sequence of lower rally highs, and the most recent dynamic move was 4 days ago, and it was certainly on the downside. Europe definitely wants to have a weaker currency. Now, when we think about the performance of European stocks, well, the Euro Stoxx index pushed on to another new high in here today. So, certainly taking the news that the ECB is not going to be raising rates and is willing to tolerate this higher inflation, that's certainly helping to inflate European asset prices. And then we saw the triumvirate of primary Wall Street indices also pushing on the upside in here today. So the S&P 500 is now pulling away from the 4,600 point level. And this history that it has had of not being able to sustain upward breaks is now also being questioned, because this is putting some distance between it and the peak put in September. So we've had 5 consecutive days on the upside, and the pace of the advance is beginning to re-accelerate. And when we then think about the Nasdaq 100, well, it's been in a consistent advance, And then it bounced where it needed to from the region of the trend mean in the upper side of the underlying range, and now it's pushing on to new highs. And if this trend is going to remain consistent, then it will persist in advancing, and the next pullback will be in the order of about 2,000 points, and it will find support above the peak put in about 6 weeks ago, or I guess 2 months ago now. So it should now hold the peak from early September, and we should see another pop on the upside and another consolidation, and that's assuming that this trend is going to remain consistent, which all other factors being equal, we can expect, because a consistent trend is a trend in motion, and most particularly because the Federal Reserve is in no hurry to raise interest rates. Well, gold prices sold off initially in here today and then recouped some of that decline by the close. And this isn't the first time we've seen this kind of action. And it's an additional example of how trading is compressing. And when we just put this up on a weekly chart, we can clearly see that there is a triangular pattern forming, and we can therefore anticipate that as long as this channel, which is narrowing in amplitude, continues to form, we'll have the occasional decline, and it will find support at a successively higher level, and subsequently we'll get a rebound, and resistance might start to come in at a successively lower level, and that will persist for as long as it takes for a breakout to occur. And I do think that we have a really good example of what that looks like in Baidu, and it's not exactly recent, but if we go back and look at what Baidu looked like before it eventually broke out, well, we had the clear succession of lower rally highs, we had the succession of higher reaction lows, then it popped on the upside and broke that sequence, but it didn't sustain it and came back down. But then it regrouped and broke out in an emphatic fashion, and then it rallied really quite impressively, and it went just from the trough from 175 up to 275 in the space of only a couple of months. And then it moved into another big rangy phase. So that's a good example of what these triangular patterns tend to look like. Then, when we think about the oil price, well, it's getting increasingly political. And oil today was down $3. So this is now the largest pullback we've seen in quite some time. And it does suggest that the $80 area is going to be tested. And then the big question is whether it's going to offer up support. But we're very overextended relative to the trend mean. And it's looking likely that we will have a reversion back towards the mean. I'm increasingly seeing people complaining about high gasoline prices in the USA. Then we can also think about the environmental conference that's going on in the UK right now, and the commitments that are being outlined for what's required to reach zero emissions. And then there's a lot of talking going on, and just what will turn into concrete action is another question entirely. But it's likely, at least, that this higher price is going to start to encourage new supply into the market eventually, and potentially that's what we're beginning to see right now. Then we can think about what's going on in China, and I think it's rather interesting that we've had a lot of news in the last couple of days, because there are some companies that are repaying debt early. They're trying to put some distance between themselves and China Evergrande. But the problem is that when you've got a dearth of liquidity and nobody wants to lend to you, well, then repaying debt may not be the best idea. And trying to look dependable and predictable is probably a more virtuous thing to do. And then when we think about what else is going on, well, then the Chinese administration came out and said, well, in fact, lending to the property sector is back at normal levels. Well, the stock market's not really suggesting that that's indeed the case. And when we look at the CSI 300 real estate index, well, it did bounce in here today. And it's at least steadying in the region of the lows from back in July. But this isn't an especially dynamic move, and it has been down in a very dynamic manner and for consecutive days over the course of the last 10 sessions. So then we really need to see upside follow through, and not just a little, but in a really dynamic manner to confirm that demand is coming back in here. And it's increasingly likely that the Chinese government is going to have to do more. And what so far they've been doing is telling banks to make it easier for property developers. So the banks are starting to pull back because it's unlikely that they're going to get their money back. And that's obviously weighing on the banking sector. And that's, I think, also particularly noteworthy because banking sectors internationally have been doing better. Even when we think about the European banking sector, well, with the prospect of higher inflation and somewhat higher interest rates, even if the ECB isn't really willing to raise rates, the banking sector is recovering, and the Euro Stoxx index is still coming up off that failed downside break in 2020, and it has now broken this downward trend. So it's looking increasingly likely that even European banks are recovering, and then the US banks have been the clear outperformers throughout this cycle, up off the lows in 2008 because they were forced to restructure, and then the index is responding favorably to the outlook for higher yields overall because it's going to boost their margins. Well, then it's also, I think, worth considering that other interest rate sensitive sectors, like the Dividend Aristocrats, they generally tend to do well in a rising interest rate environment because of the strength of their balance sheets and the reliability of their cash flows, and most particularly their willingness to increase dividends regardless of every other factor. So the Dividend Aristocrats Index also pushed to a new all-time high in here today as well. So this is still a very benign environment from a stock market perspective, because we have abundant liquidity and we have central banks telling us they're in no hurry to raise interest rates. So that's about as benign an environment as one could wish for. With growth starting to moderate, and with we've just gone through the earnings season and it's been pretty much universally positive, so corporate profits continue to do well. And we're actually seeing that corporate profits have popped on the upside. In June was the last time it was updated. We should get the next update in the not too distant future, and that would reflect the figures for the end of September. But it's certainly going to be higher than it was in June because we've had such a strong performance in the third quarter. Then we can think about, well, is it going to persist? And the supply bottlenecks continue to bite. And we've already heard from companies like Apple that they're not going to be able to sell as many phones. And I can certainly attest to the fact that if I've been trying to buy phones for my daughters and for Mrs. Tracy as well, and they wanted the P50 pink ones, and Mrs. Tracy wanted the gold one. And I got mine very quickly because I got the bog standard iPhone 13. And they've been waiting for the last 2 weeks because of a lack of supply. And we're still only in the first week in November. So we're hoping that they'll get them before Christmas. And I think that's indicative of what we can expect for a large number of suppliers. And it's probably a good idea right now to do one's holiday shopping early because companies are having difficulties getting their stock and ensuring that they have enough for the holiday season, which is likely to be a bumper season because the consumer is flush with cash from the massive liquidity that's been provided over the course of the last 18 months. So again, this is still a reasonably benign environment, and it's really a challenge for companies to ensure that they can get the most from it. Well, with Europe and with the USA continuing to pop on the upside, then Japan has also been clear that they're going to hold on to their yield curve control policy. And the Nikkei is bouncing from the region of the trend mean. And the second section has spent months ranging in the region of its all-time peaks. And it was a little softer in here today. But if Japan continues to weigh on the currency and continues to supply liquidity, and the global economy remains on a recovery trajectory, well, then I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Well, the Australian dollar, which is traded like a commodity currency, well, that was in negative territory yesterday, or 2 days ago. Excuse me, it was yesterday because this is already ticked into tomorrow, and it was a little steadier in here today. It's pausing in the region of the exponential moving average. I'm still willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the fact that the Australian dollar should do better in a rising interest rate environment and with stronger commodity prices. The LME Metals Index has been easing back because of the pressure that's come to bear on some of those industrial commodities. But what I find particularly interesting is that the Raw Industrial Spot Index, which has lots of commodities that aren't freely traded, remains really very firm. So we're still seeing a lot of upward pressure on commodity prices, and it's the uniquely sensitive prices to what's happening in China are pulling back. And iron ore is right back on its lows, and it hasn't bounced. So we need to see a clear upward dynamic to signal that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And that's likely to continue to weigh on companies like BHP or Rio Tinto or Vale, which are the triumvirate of companies that dominate the global iron ore sector. Of course, it's music to the ears of the steel producers. They don't generally tend to. They really haven't been the most impressive of shares over the course of the last decade, and not least because of China's dominance of the sector. But China is closing down excess supply, and that's potentially removing a significant headwind for the global steel industry. And ArcelorMittal is now right in the region of the upper side of the base formation, which has been forming for the better part of a decade. So there's certainly a lot to play for here, and we're still in an environment where there's a lot of liquidity, and that should help to support global economic activity. And as long as the dollar isn't surging higher, well, then that should also be beneficial for emerging markets. And as long as commodity prices remain steady at to rising, well, then that should also be beneficial for the commodity exporters. Of course, then the the ch potential challenges are that interest rates continue to push higher, and the most interest rates sensitive portions of the market will then start to experience difficulties first. And I think one of the most interest rate sensitive portions of the market is the solar sector, because a significant number of those companies are very much oriented towards delayed payments. So it is encouraging that the TAN ETF is bouncing from the upper side of this range that's been forming since March, and it would suggest that investors for the present are at least willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the potential for a big boost to renewable energy spending coming out of this climate conference in the UK. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.